Nicole Hardy's memoir, Confessions of a Latter-day Virgin, is an expansion of her essay, Single Female Mormon Alone, which was published as a New York Times Modern Love column back in 2011. She's also written two books of poetry. Nicole graduated from UW, worked for Argosy Cruises, taught high school, danced at the Century Ballroom, went to readings at the Elliott Bay Book Company, got inspiration at the Richard Hugo House, and Seattle is where Nicole Hardy committed her first two acts of rebellion. We will get to those. Nicole Hardy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You were a virgin until you were 36 because you wanted to be a good Mormon. What is the Mormon Church's law of chastity?
Well, in the Mormon Church, there's no sex before marriage, and most people marry really young because of that, and also because the tenets of marriage and family are really central to the belief system. So it didn't occur to me that I would have to be abstinent for that long. And then at some point it occurred to me that I might have to be celibate forever because there were a lot of ways that I didn't fit into that religious community the older I got. And so those things combined, the ways that I didn't fit in and the idea of living an entirely celibate life, sort of combined to make an unsolvable problem for me.
And crimes of sex are really serious.
They are really serious, yeah. And those things can get you disfellowshipped or excommunicated and can jeopardize your eternal salvation if you believe in the Mormon faith, those are the consequences. And so it's—
What are the rewards, though? I mean, is this supposed to be something you're supposed to do for your faith? Is there some reason to do it that rewards you?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely people believe that the strongest marriages are those where people are saving themselves for each other, and that sort of the sexual act is a sacred act and should only be shared by people who have made an eternal bond to each other. And so there are those earthly rewards of having that one special thing only shared with that one special person, and also the eternal rewards of a family into the eternities.
You've said that part of the reason you'd like Mormons to read this book is so that they would understand how they treat single people, which you say it's treated as a problem if you're single.
Singlehood is considered a problem to be solved, I would say. And there, in cities where there are enough single people to fill up a congregation, there's often a separate congregation only for singles only for single people, and it's called a singles ward. Our congregations are called wards. And so singles after 18 and before 30 are kind of sent off to worship together in the hopes that they'll meet and get married and also have things in common with their fellow parishioners. But there are also problems involved in that. The community as a whole doesn't consider the needs and concerns and realities of the life of a single person in the Mormon Church. And often there's a lot of jokes that if you get married while you're in the singles ward, they consider it graduating, as if the life you're living up until then is just sort of practicing at real life, or it's not, you know.
It isn't a real life until you get married.
I did not feel like my life was considered real life,
yeah,
because I was single. And I had had a lot of accomplishments, and I'd done a lot of really wonderful things with my life. And I felt like I was always considered not quite grown up yet because I wasn't married.
I'm talking to Nicole Hardy. Her memoir is called Confessions of a Latter-day Virgin, about her struggle and eventual victory over the law of chastity. You tried really hard to find a Mormon man you could marry, but that just never really worked.
No, and I think my situation was particularly unique in that I didn't want children, and that made me kind of undateable and ultimately unmarriageable in my community. And I don't know. I think that I'm a little bit feisty and a little bit strong-willed, and it was always really important for me to like be educated and be able to take care of myself. And I don't think that any of those things go against the tenets of the church, but it makes me different from a lot of Mormon women whose goals may also include being educated and doing some traveling, but ultimately the goal is to get married and have a family. And I thought it would be great to get married, but I was always on the fence about having children. So that made things pretty complicated.
So you started to date non-Mormon men. Was that a big deal to be dating people outside of your faith?
Not necessarily. I mean, everyone knows that the Mormons have a pretty strong missionary program, though. And so I think I was actually counseled by several bishops that said, you know, if it's not working inside the church, there are certainly good people outside of the church. It's fine to date them. But, you know, if you're 30, 32, 33, 34 years old, there aren't many straight men in the world who are going to pursue a relationship that doesn't include sex. And so I couldn't get beyond the first date with a Mormon man because I didn't want to have kids. And I couldn't get beyond the first date with a non-Mormon man because I didn't have sex. So, you know, no one sticks around long enough to fall in love. It was a really isolating experience for me.
Well, I'm imagining among people in their 20s and 30s in Seattle, it's unusual for someone to keep a vow of chastity. So how did you approach this when you were meeting men or just in people who you knew outside of dating life?
The easy answer is I didn't date. You know, I would be approached by men who wanted to date me and I would just automatically be like, don't bother. It's not going to go anywhere, really. You know, we'd go on one or two dates and then, you know, you end up at someone's house at the end of the night and you start kissing and then you're like, that's as far as it's going to go. And the relationship doesn't go much farther than that, not because they're horrible people who are only interested in sex, but because it's a huge incompatibility and it's not really worth it for people to invest a lot in a relationship that they can't see going anywhere. So if they want a future with someone, and so do I, there's a giant roadblock in the way.
I'm talking to Nicole Hardy about her new memoir. It's called Confessions of a Latter-day Virgin. And you write about your first and second act of rebellion right here on Capitol Hill. tell us about those acts of rebellion.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was in my mid-30s and I knew I was kind of reaching the end of my rope. I wasn't ready to acknowledge that I needed to leave my faith because it was such a I knew that that would devastate so many people in my family, and I kind of didn't know who I would be if I wasn't the person I had grown up being, you know. But Brokeback Mountain came out, and for whatever reason, I just sort of, I knew I needed to see this movie, and I was really drawn to it, and the Mormon faith isn't terribly accepting of homosexual behavior, and, you know, definitely opposed to gay marriage, and the gay lifestyle in general. It's an attitude of we love you, but homosexuality is wrong.
Mm. Well, the scene in the movie with Heath Ledger where he has this realization about himself and his life and his sexuality resonated strongly with you.
Yeah, I sat through this movie and I didn't expect to relate to much. And suddenly I was just like devastated and overwhelmed with a sense of empathy because I sort of knew what it – I think the quote in the book is that I knew what it was to be fundamentally bound to an ill-fitting life. And I didn't want to be the thing that made me an outcast in my community. And I had no choice except to be who I was. And I sort of knew that – that there wasn't a way out that wasn't going to be devastating. And so I just, you know, I broke down. It was like really emotional. And yeah, that was a really important moment in my life.
And then part two, you walk across the street to Babes in Toyland, the sex toy store.
Yes, I was with a couple of friends and we were driving by and I think it was just such a heavy emotional experience. They just needed a good laugh. And I think for them, like taking the Mormon to the vibrator store was the funniest thing they could think of. So that was definitely a revelation of a whole different kind for me. And I had a lot of questions to ask. There were a lot of products in there. I was shocked to see for the first time ever, but it was an innocent enough adventure.